today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hey, chum. Why so glum?
Oh, I'm just thinking about the one that got away.
You mean a girl? Yeah, we've all been there.
No, I mean a concert I missed out on.
Oh, yeah. We've all been there.
Okay, we're at Mike Snyder's house again.
Yes, we are. I'm never leaving. I've said that before.
You know, we've started thinking about selling our house, and I'm kind of thinking I don't want to leave either. I don't like moving, but and
you,
I do like this place.
You could sell to Patrick.
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
All this stuff conveys, Patrick. All these sweet DVDs.
Oh, that's perfect
everything
for me.
I don't have to pack anything. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all the box sets.
What are the laws of Virginia? How long do you have to squat to actually own someplace?
Is that why this back door's
that's
open?
Right. He pitched a tent in the backyard. He can't leave. Apparently, yeah. He owns it now.
Yeah. So we're at Mike Snyder's house in Northern Virginia. The show is Rockin' the Suburbs. We are Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us is
Mike Snyder.
Mike Snyder.
Thanks for hanging, guys.
Thank you so much.
And we're here because Mike is a great guy, friend of the show, all of that. But specifically for this episode, he's also a patron mm-hmm. of the podcast. Mm-hmm. And because mm-hmm. of that, he gets to pick the topic. And
I have a question.
Yes. Okay.
And I don't want to plant seeds in anybody's mind, but can I propose a scenario? What if a bunch of patrons got together and wanted to do a whole week on a certain topic? Could they do that?
Like five patrons and said mm-hmm. we want to do a week yeah. and each one. Sure.
They so could like do whatever Mike they called up Mike Wagner and Scott Parks and a bunch of guys and said, hey, let's do
we want to do that Steely Dan week.
Or something. Phil Collins week is what I'm worried about.
That would be awesome.
Oh, are you nervous about this or are you
I'm
just
a little
asking?
Nervous.
Oh,
maybe I had a nightmare.
Okay.
That sounds like a great idea.
Oh, no.
I'm nervous because the patrons outnumber us.
Yeah, and that's what I'm worried about,
too. If you're encouraging some kind of organization.
Some kind of coup?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing is I would say
all right,
is
let's delete all this and
if
start
if you don't
over.
Have a good plan and you don't want to team up and you don't like the topic that I propose for today, be a Patreon and you get to have you're in
there
charge.
You go.
You know?
That's it.
You're like
well, that's
Alexander
well said,
Haig.
Mike. I like that. Yep. If you want to change it, you got to step up. There's a way to do that.
But I have a feeling you did plant a seed and something's going to grow out of this, and you're going to need something more than a Roundup to kill it.
I had a nightmare. I've been spraying these guys. It's not working.
It's like
now I have this cancer, and I'm seeing these ads on TV.
Oh,
to,
good
for
Lord!
The
I'm nervous because like when my kids were little, they used to watch this movie called A Bug's Life, and you know the whole thing in there was like the ants versus the grasshoppers,
right.
And the grasshoppers were few, but they were powerful.
Yes,
the ants were many, but you know they didn't realize that their collective force could overtake the grasshoppers
oh,
if they
boy.
Just figured it out, right? And
I think I just figured it out.
Yeah. So okay.
Be kind to us, folks.
All right. So, let's get back on track here.
Yes.
So, Mike, what is the topic today?
The topic today is concerts I missed. And I came up with this idea because I didn't get to go to a show this summer I really wanted to go see, which is Mark Knopfler at Wolf Trap. And I've seen Mark Knopfler numerous times.
Okay.
But it's always a great show. You know, he's a great performer. It creates a great musical atmosphere. I didn't get to go, and I'm like, and I don't know if I was wallowing in my beer at home when he was playing 5 miles away.
Yeah.
But I thought about other shows I'd missed. And I thought this, you know, you think about, a lot of people think about the woman or the guy that got away. Mm-hmm. And I started thinking about concerts that got away. And there are a few that stick in my mind. And I thought that might be fun to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I would think other people have this thought. Am I alone? Do you guys have
not
shows?
Not at all. Okay. No, absolutely. And they stick in your mind, too, for some reason. Yeah. They really do.
For sure. This one is not really a realistic show that I probably would have been able to go to, but it really stuck in my mind as a show that I felt that I needed to be at. And in 1982, the Who and the Clash toured together for a while.
Let me know, should I stay or should I go? If you say that you are mine, I'll be here till the day I die. Come on and let me know, should I stay or should I go?
I'm on my knees. One day is fine, the next is black. So if you want me off your back, come on and let me know. Should I stay or should I go? Should I stay or should I go now? Should I stay or should I go now? If I go, there will be trouble.
On what was the first farewell tour for The Who, that's which, right. Of course, I've seen like 10 farewell shows since then.
I can't believe you're bringing this up because I have something about this tour, too. Go
on. This is awesome, then. See, there's synergy.
Perfect.
And I think Rolling Stone had a full-page ad for this concert tour because that's the only way I probably would have known about it, because in the end, they didn't really come that close to us other than Detroit.
Yep.
But it was one of those shows I felt like, man, I really need to be at this show. I would have been 19 at the time. So I really wasn't as mobile enough to go across the country or whatever. I was still, you know, kind of in my Kansas City metro area. But I really wanted to go to see that show. And that's stuck in my mind because at that time, the Clash were at their powers. Mm-hmm. You know, Combat Rock was out. The Who were kind of at the waning powers. I mean, depending on your point of view, It's Hard is a good album. I mean, they had Kenny Jones playing.
It was a hit record.
Yeah. It seemed like the perfect show for my musical taste at that point.
Eminence Front was a hit song, right?
I still love that song. I still put it on my mixtape.
Athena, that's a good tune.
Yep. So, So that was the first. That was the one that stuck in my mind a lot. You know that, and I don't think I could have ever really gone to it. It would have been a major operation to do that.
I have a similar story here as well. So what year was that again?
I have it as 1982.
82, that's right.
Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. So let me think here. I would have been 15. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, that's so funny. That's the age that my son is now. So now this is making sense to me because I wanted to go to that show at the Pontiac Silverdome.
Mm. The one I just, that's the closest I got to Kansas City. Yeah.
So I was, I grew up in Toledo, which was like an hour from Detroit. Pontiac was a little bit farther. It's on the northern suburbs of Detroit. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's an hour and a half drive or something like that. I'm pretty sure it was on a school night even. And so my friend Jim Petrillo, listeners of the show know him as Echo Park Jimmy.
Okay.
He went to that show at the Pontiac Silverdome. Yes.
Wow.
It was The Who, as you mentioned, The Clash opened, and then the other supporting act was Eddie Money.
Wow.
Wow. And that's a rest in peace blast in the past that you guys talked about recently, too.
That's right. So that's a pretty good triple bill.
Exactly. That's fantastic.
At a big stadium show when you're 15 years old, that would have just blown my mind. My life probably would have been changed by going to that show, but my parents wouldn't let me go.
And so, thanks to the magic of Setlist FM, Jim, I'm able to tell you that was September 30th of 1982 when that show happened.
I must have been a sophomore in high school, I guess, that year.
So and, about that age, I had a similar thing where I did find a way to go to a show. The Eagles did Hotel California at Arrowhead Stadium in 78. And I was like, I got to go to the show. Luckily, I worked at that age. I had a little jobs and I had some money. So I basically paid our babysitter to take me and a friend of mine. We bought 3 tickets to the concert and saw the Eagles and Linda Ronstadt and Dan Fogelberg at Arrowhead Stadium.
Wow.
So that was my first real, I had to concoct, an operation to get to a show, and that's kind of led to the rest of my life, which I've been doing this forever, once you get mobile, things make things a little easier.
Yes.
As I got older, in college, we would drive to Colorado to see like the Rolling Stones from Lawrence, it's about depending on how fast you drive, it's 7 or 8 hour drive. It's not an easy thing to do, but you begin to your horizons expand as you get older, and you realize there's things you could do.
So what were other shows that you wish you had gone to?
In 1990, Stevie Ray Vaughan played in Omaha, Nebraska, and I was a journalist in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And I missed this show because I wasn't evolved enough at the time. Okay. I was, as Carly Simon said, so vain. We had 4 coworkers. We had 4 tickets. And one of the 4 was a woman I had been dating, and we were kind of on the skids. And I couldn't suck it up and ride the 3 hours and stay overnight in Omaha because I just, you know, I just didn't want to be in that situation, you know. I'm just not the evolved man that I am now, you know. But I learned a lesson from that. Stevie Ray Vaughan died 4 months later.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
The lesson is the music comes first.
Yeah.
You got to, when you got a chance to see someone that, and he was someone I had, you know, I had like two tapes with albums on each side in my car of his, just you know, that I would play. And I did learn, that's, I think about that all the time, that I didn't go to that show. And, you know, those people are still friends of mine. And, you know, we're all older now and thought of that stuff in the past, but I couldn't do that at the time. And I regret that.
Yes. I have a couple of related stories here as well. So first I want to say this. When Stevie Ray Vaughan died, East Troy, Wisconsin. Oh, geez. What is the name of that amphitheater there?
Oh, I forget the name, but...
I'm blanking.
I'll look it's an outside for place.
Yeah.
Alpine Theater. Is
Alpine
that?
Valley.
Yeah, Alpine That's Valley.
Mm-hmm. Alpine Valley. At that point in time, I was a young journalist myself working in Rockford, Illinois, which was not that far away.
Right.
And they sent me up to cover that story. So
did they really?
I wrote the story for the Rockford Register Star about Stevie Ray Vaughan's untimely death.
Mm.
Very sad. But I can also tell you of a couple of experiences that I've had where I thought I'll have many chances to see these artists, you know, passed on particular shows, and then they had untimely deaths as well. One was a few years ago, Patrick. I remember there was kind of some excitement about this, that Prince was playing in town.
Right. He was.
I think it was the Warner Theater,
mm-hmm.
if I remember. That was the piano tour.
It was that tour where he didn't announce the shows very far in advance, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's right. They were on sale like 48 hours beforehand.
Right.
You could buy tickets.
And some other people got tickets and they were like,
it was like a lottery,
all excited. And I was just like, yeah, that sounds great. I've never seen Prince. I'd love to go see Prince, but, you know, I'll get it next time, whatever. And that didn't work out.
Yep.
I'll never get a chance to see him.
Yep.
The other one was, here's a really interesting one. So again, when I was living in Illinois, newly married, my wife and I were buying tickets to go to a show in Chicago. There were two bands playing at Soldier Field in the same week. Soldier Field, okay? One was Grateful Dead.
Mm.
And then right after the Grateful Dead, in fact, they even used their equipment, their setup or whatever, was Pearl Jam. And this was when Pearl Jam had... You know, they were still a pretty young band, but they were huge. I mean, that first
album was huge.
Right? They skyrocketed like right up and became a huge band. Right? Yeah. I can't remember if this was, maybe they had two albums out at this point, I want to say.
VS or whatever was out.
But we decided to go see Pearl Jam because we were like, they're Grateful Dead. They're always touring, whatever. We can see them anytime. No big deal. And I'm not a big Deadhead, but my wife is. And she agreed with that. She was like, yeah, no big deal. Well, I think that was Jerry's last show, was it?
I think that's right. That's what we determined.
At Soldier Field?
Yeah, that's right. That was the last show before he passed
on. I could have been at that show.
Yeah. And Pearl Jam still plays.
And they're touring forever. They're the ones touring forever, yeah, right?
That's right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, that's too bad.
Thought I heard a blackbird sing up on Bluebird Hill. Call me a wine boy. Lord, when the sun don't shine and I don't deny my name, got no place to go, ain't that a shame? But I heard that Casey whistle moaning sweet and low. But I heard that Casey wind she blow. Sun don't shine underneath the cocoa. Wine and more got no place to go. Many roads I tell you, so many roads I know. So many roads, so many roads. Mountain high, river wide. So many roads to ride. So many roads, so many roads.
This is a sad topic.
I know. Patrick, do you have any examples of this?
Well, you know, I think one thing that comes to mind, and when Mike was sort of touching on the fact that, you know, you weren't evolved enough, or you weren't savvy enough, or and we talked about this. You know, you may hear this coming up on our Hardcore Week, or you may have already heard this.
That's right.
There was definitely a time when you don't feel either brave enough or ready to go to shows.
And yeah,
for me, growing up in DC, you know, with this amazing hardcore scene, you know, I got to admit, I was, you know, a sophomore in high school, freshman in high school from the suburbs. Going to DC was scary kind of enough in the early 80s. You know, it was not a very safe place. Certainly your parents didn't want you going down there with your friends when you just had learned to drive, or somebody just right. got their driver's license. But yeah, bands like Minor Threat or Embrace or Rites of Spring were playing down there, and you knew a little bit. You just knew enough from the cool kids at school to be like, wow, there's something really kind of cool happening. It looks totally different. But I never really got up the guts, or, you know, was able to put it together enough to go. And so it wasn't until I was almost out of high school, like a late senior, that I started going to the 930 Club. And, you know, you go back and you look at the shows that happened at DC Space and the 930 Club, and you're like, how in the world, even though I was alive and I was 16 years old, did I not go, you know, to see some of these unbelievable acts, you know, that came from Britain and stuff and played in this place that held 190 or 250 people, right? So that was always like, you know, wow, this is terrible. I can also remember during the time I started working as a concert reviewer and went to many, many shows that I didn't necessarily or would never have chosen on my own, but was assigned to go to. And that same night, somebody else was playing that I really liked. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I have to go. The worst of all, I remember this. I had to go see the Backstreet Boys. And I was really into John Spencer Blues Explosion at the time. And they were playing at the 930 Club with a band called Soul Coughing, who I also really uh-huh. loved. And I had to go to see the Backstreet Boys. And I literally was like jabbing pencils in my thighs over the fact that I had to go yeah. do this. But I, you know, that's what you do. You guys know that. And when you get the assignment, you got to hold on to that gig and do what you honored in your agreement.
Right.
So those, I can think of a lot of those where you're like, oh man, you know, where could I be tonight instead of right here with all these 13-year-old girls screaming their heads off. So, but yeah, I think I think beyond sort of people that passed on and you know, that chance was completely taken away from you, there are those times where you say, I was alive at this point and this happened in my town, and that's sort of retroactive, like, you right. know, history. So but also on the other side of it, to follow up on what you guys were saying, I was, you know, used to hang out with friends at the University of Virginia and stuff early, you know, sort of in my academic wanderings, which didn't really lead anywhere. But Stevie Ray Vaughan played a concert at the Charlottesville, the University of Virginia basketball arena. And there was just some of us that were hanging out down there on a Friday night and decided to go buy tickets at the door. And we actually saw him. And great. That was really amazing. I think it was only about a month before he had passed on. So that was a really cool, lucky experience.
Great. Yeah, you talk about retroactive. I mean, I wish I'd seen Kansas more when I was growing yeah. up. I mean,
see, that's a great example.
I would see them at the music shop, and mm-hmm. honestly, I don't know why I went into the music shop, because I never was a musician other than I played the recorder.
the recorder, yeah.
But I remember seeing some of the guys in the band then, but I didn't see many of their formative shows.
Interesting.
I saw them as they became big stars, mm-hmm. I guess.
And did they work their way up kind of in sort of, I mean, were they from some?
They were all from the Topeka, Kansas area. Oh, they were from Topeka, much, okay. If I remember right. And they just finally got somebody to listen to, well, Song for America kind of helped break them. That finally got on rock radio.
Oh, yeah.
The Song for America anthem type song. But then obviously when Left Overture came out, that just went crazy. And it'll be interesting to see if they ever, I don't know if that album is enough to pop them, that and Point of No Return is enough to pop them into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But, you know, now the band that plays is really, there's only, I think, a couple original members, but it's still a fun experience. I saw them at the Birchmere. four or five years ago, and it was a fun experience. But I wish I'd seen more when they were forming and growing their audience and stuff. You mentioned assignments. There was assignment. Another show I remember I missed that I really wanted to be assigned to was the Led Zeppelin reunion in London.
Oh, wow. Mm.
And I was at USA Today and I'd done music shows. I've never been a music writer, but I'm a journalist who can cover music.
Oh, totally. Right? Yes.
And do a review and
without a doubt,
unbiased or whatever.
Totally.
And try not to screw it up too much, you know? And I said, look, I'd love to go cover this show. You know, we didn't have anybody in London at the time. I mean, I would guess I was probably the biggest Led Zeppelin fan in the building, though another reporter got to go, and he's a friend of mine, and I didn't hold it against him. I'm just like, oh my God, why am I not at this show?
Yeah, exactly.
Because, you know, I never got to see Led Zeppelin live. They played around our area. I think they played in Kansas City. It says they played in Kansas City in 1970 when I looked up Setlist FM, which is a rabbit hole if you can go down to if you ever want to.
It's a crazy one, yep.
But I was 7 or 8 years old then. At that time, I was listening to the Beatles and the Jackson 5, cutting the records off of Super Sugar Crisp boxes.
Love those records.
Yes, I had my Meet the Beatles album in my toy drawer, with not in the cover. You know, it's like with the Hot Wheels rolling across it. I mean, what an idiot. And they did play in St. Louis and Oklahoma City over the years, but I wasn't a driver at that point. And as I don't know the progression, but I did eventually get to see Robert Plant solo and Jimmy Page, you know, with a thriving supergroup known as The Firm.
That's right.
But that one always stuck in my craw as a show that I should have been.
And I think all of us as writers can certainly understand that emotion of like, I can't believe I didn't get that assignment.
Yeah.
Like, that is made for me and I didn't get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very frustrating. You know, and this is kind of another thread is like bands you could have gone to see, but you didn't know about the band, right? Or you weren't into them. And for me, NRBQ is a band like that. So I totally fell in love with that band, but it wasn't until late. I mean, probably not until the late 90s did I even understand how amazing they were and like what an amalgam of different American musics there were that they were playing. But they played at the Birchmere like all the time. They played all these little dives in D.C. and everywhere. Huh. Like even in, I was looking up once they played in Arlington, Virginia, at like the Cinnamon Draft House, the place that's the Cinnamon Draft House now. Mm-hmm. In all these opportunities, like, man, if I had known about that band. And you would look at concert listings and be like, ah, NRBQ, they're some sort of stale, like, blues band. Like, who wants to pay attention to that stuff? But, man, you know, you're like, oh, crap. I could have saw them so many times at a small place. And even now, as I say this, in December, they're playing at the Birchmere now. And so
oh, really?
The challenge, yes, they are. They're doing a show at the Birchmere.
Should we go?
In December. I would love to go.
All right, let's do it.
Hopefully it's not like $75 back when it was probably like 10, right? You know, back in the early 90s. But that's a band that's constantly toured and constantly played. But I'll pose this to you guys as I'm talking about this. I once wrote a small essay on if you could get back in a time machine and go to one show, like what would that show be? And I was maybe writing for effect at the time, but I was like, oh, I'd love to go back to 1971 and see NRBQ playing in a bar, like a dive bar in Louisville, right? And watching them play all those Nugget covers and stuff like that. Because there's an amazing bootleg called Live at the Ludlow Garage from 1970, where they're playing in Cincinnati, Ohio. Oh, it's an amazing show. But I don't know. I just throw that out at you guys. Maybe it's Kansas for you, Mike, right?
Well, I mean, that would be fun, but I can't think of an exact show to see. I think what a show, I'd obviously love to be on the rooftop with the Beatles on there on their last show.
That would be bad.
You know, I'd be the key grip or whatever, you know, whatever guy gets in the credits.
Well, I didn't think about that, actually. I'll go back to Hamburg and the Star Club. Well,
exactly.
spend cheap, a week there.
Cheap beer and hang out,
exactly.
You know. And then, you know, the Rolling Stones, in preparation for some of their big tours, have done club shows.
Always used
and
to do
I
that.
Never got to go to a club show that they did. I would love to have seen one of those. And
yeah.
Then, well, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, this is kind of a different topic, and maybe we can do this as another show, but right. I'll just really quickly say, number one, I really do wish I had seen Prince at some point,
well,
so
I'm going
to bring that up. But number two, I would think probably my second choice would be, I would love to have seen like Iggy and the Stooges.
Oh, like, yeah.
Formative.
Like, you know, back in the maybe early, you know, late 60s, early 70s, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
I bet that would have been a transformative experience.
Oh my
right?
God. Can you imagine when he was just baiting the audience and like
crawling on the ground with glass
up.
And stuff?
Yeah. Oh my God.
That would have freaked me out.
No, that would have been amazing.
But I'm sure the music was, I mean, when you listen to those albums, just like, man, what this would have been incredible live.
Right.
You know,
right. So. Right. Or like the MC5 or something like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Do you have any more?
Those are the ones that I have on the top of
can
mind.
Can I tell you two stories real quick about
love stories.
Concerts that got away? One of them I may or may not have been able to go to anyway, but the other one I definitely could have gone to. So the first one is, I remember this in 1987 when I was a student at Indiana University. You got to remember back then how big John Mellencamp was, right?
Yeah.
So, and he lived in Bloomington. He lived sort of outside of town. He had, you know, a lot of property there, and he had his own studio and so on and so forth. Anyway, 1987, I'm in my apartment. I lived in like a basement apartment off campus. So, you know, he had like sort of the high windows, like Laverne and Shirley style, right? And I was up really late one night or whatever. And somebody, like literally a friend, comes and bangs on my window and says, we just saw at the Bluebird, which is like a club, you know, just an average size live music club in town. We just saw a surprise show by John Mellencamp, Neil Young, and Lou Reed.
No.
They must have had Farm Aid in town.
That was it. So Farm Aid, I just looked it up. Farm Aid was in Lincoln, Nebraska.
I went to that concert.
Okay, that year.
Because Lou Reed was there.
Yeah, that's right. But they apparently were all
hanging out,
rehearsing at Mellencamp's place in preparation for that concert. And so they just went to like warm up or whatever. They did a surprise unannounced show at the Bluebird.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
So
that's amazing.
Why didn't I know about this, right?
That would suck.
How crazy is that, right?
That's great.
So that's one. Now here's another one that kills me. Several years ago, probably going on maybe not quite, well, probably close to 10 years at this point. I was in Nashville for work, for something to do with Gannett/USA Today. And I'm sitting at a diner, like the counter at a diner for lunch, right? And in walks, of all people, Conan O'Brien, okay? Conan O'Brien at that point was on a, he had just gotten fired from The Tonight Show. And so he was on like a comedy tour. That's like what he was doing. It was before then he started his show on TBS. So he was doing this like comedy tour and he had to stop in Nashville. So he walks in the place. I'm like, oh my God, there's Conan O'Brien. And it just so happens there was an empty seat at the counter next to me. He comes and sits down right next to me. We struck up a conversation. It was a, you know, nice little conversation and it was fine. I tried not to, you know, I tried to do the thing that you should do, which is not totally treat them like a celebrity. Just be like, hey, you know, how's it going? But just try to talk to him like a normal person, which was good. But apparently it wasn't good enough because he didn't clue me into this fact that he was doing a show at Third Man Records with Jack White later, like that evening.
Amazing.
And he didn't bring it up to me. So apparently I wasn't a good enough friend of him in that conversation to bring that up. But I learned later that had I been following him on Twitter, I would have known about this show because that was how they announced it. And it was basically like, you know, it was a Twitter thing and it was like, you know, the first 100 people or something like that who show up can get in. And I'm such a dope, you know, for not having figured that out because I could have gone to that like really cool intimate show with Conan O'Brien and Jack White. Right.
Now, I'll tell you guys one other story. I've heard Jim talk about that, and that's an incredible story, too. It really is. I once had tickets to a New Year's Eve concert at the Warner Theater in Washington, D.C. The lineup was the Dead Milkmen, the Cramps, and the Dead Milkmen, Butthole Surfers, and the Cramps.
Okay.
And I remember standing in line to get in. And a lot of people were milling around outside and they said, hey, can someone go in for us and tell the Dead Milkmen to finish up so we can actually go in? And then I went in and right before the Butthole Surfer started, I went outside to smoke a cigarette. I was a smoker at the time. And I never realized that because of the reputation of the Butthole Surfers and the Cramps, you could not come back into the show. So I was locked out of the show. Even though I had a ticket, I had gone in, sir, there's no re-entry. You can't come back into
the show.
So I missed the entire Butthole Surfers set. And I was so frustrated. My friends were inside until at one moment I just got really impetuous. And when a bunch of people were coming out, I just sprinted inside to the Warner Theater thinking that they won't find me, you know, amongst the crowd. They probably won't give up. And I was able to see the rest of the Cramp set, but I missed the Butthole Surfers altogether. And apparently they showed, you know, films of graphic operations behind their set that night and lit some stuff on fire. But I missed it. But I didn't know because of the reputation of the band and the fact that it was at this nice Warner Theater that there was no re-entry to that show. So I missed the entire thing I really wanted to see. And I was there. Yeah.
Okay, so this reminds
me of to break down in tears.
This reminds me of another story.
You should have got the box of Kleenex.
Thanks, Mike.
One time in my early 20s, I went to see Midnight Oil I'm so bad with these names now. It was another amphitheater in the Chicago area, not Alpine Valley, but a different one.
Okay.
And not only, this was the Blue Sky Mining Tour. This was like Midnight Oil when they were as big as they could be, right?
Pretty big.
I'm totally misjudged. This was way before the days of like Google Maps and all that kind of stuff where you can sort of figure out your route and how long it's going to take you to get there, whatever.
That's the worst.
And I totally misjudged how much time it was going to take me to drive from point A to point B. Plus, I was taking a young lady and I had to pick her up someplace. You know what I mean? So I totally screwed it up. And we got there and they were like already playing. So in my rush, in my haste to get out of the car and get into the show, I locked my keys in the car.
Oh, no.
So, and this, of course, was long before the days where you could like easily rectify that situation. Like, I didn't have an app on my phone that would unlock my car and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Like, the keys are locked in the car. So then I'm like freaking out about this. I got my keys locked in my car. So then I had to go get security or somebody to help me out and get the keys out. And that took forever. And then I think we went in and saw like two songs.
Oh, man.
And that did not leave a great impression on the date.
There's nothing worse than showing up and being in the parking lot with a band you want to see is playing already when you get there. That's a terrible feeling.
Yeah.
That's bad. Well, I hate to bring up all these bad memories, but it's been an interesting discussion.
Yeah,
it's really funny how you can have music can allow people to have certain connections and things happen to them that are very similar to what happened to the other people. You know?
Right. Yeah. Well, it's such a interesting thing, I think, as we get older too, and especially me. You know, I've been to a lot of concerts and I'm always cranky about going out and, you know, staying up and stuff, but you make that decision like, hey, are you into this or are you not? Like, and when you're in, you gotta make sure you're all in to actually going to see it and committing to that.
So I'll tell you about this very timely. Just last night I had tickets to see
oh, that's right.
I had tickets to see Slater Kinney at Anthem.
As we record this.
And I ended up selling the tickets off because at the time that I bought the two tickets, months ago, I wasn't anticipating that the World Series would be in Washington, D.C.
Right, that's right.
And so I literally couldn't find anybody to go with me to this show because everybody wanted to watch World Series, understandably. And so I ended up selling off my tickets at a loss on StubHub. All right, fine. I made my peace with that at the time. But now, having seen the game that transpired, I kind of wish I had gone to the show.
Well, it's funny because, you know, I tried to sell my tickets to Wilco on StubHub because I wanted to watch the game. And the tickets went so low. I'm like, I'm not selling this Wilco ticket for like $25. Right, yeah. There's no way.
Right.
So we went to Wilco. Right. I took my phone and watched the game on the phone.
Yeah. Yeah. But exactly. At least that was the playoff. That wasn't the World Series. But
that's
true. That's true.
But that also would have been a traffic nightmare, too. But you have
that's right.
You had a good solution to that.
So. Yeah,
I came up with one more show I would like to have been at.
Mm-hmm.
When you mentioned Prince, remember the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame performance where they inducted George Harrison into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame after he died, and Prince played the great solo Tom Petty and everybody else on "While My Guitar Gently Weeps." Yeah. I would like to have been there.
Oh, that would have been amazing.
Because I mean, if you haven't watched that on YouTube or wherever, folks, you got to watch that.
Oh yeah. So. That is amazing. Yeah, and you know, one of the interesting things that I think people have to remember is that you can only do so much, and I think oftentimes we beat ourselves up for being like, well, I should have gone to that, I should have done this, but when you think about it, you know, in context, and I think some of the time period that we're talking about here too, we didn't have any money. Like I didn't have any damn money. Right. You know, a lot of times I had to weigh the ticket price for some of these concerts to be like, I can't afford $17 to see, you know, whoever it is, but I got to save my money because Tom Waits is coming, you know, and I've always wanted to see him or whatever it is.
Right. Yeah. Yep. That's true. That's true.
No, you're absolutely right. And, the thing about living in a major metro area like Washington, D.C. now is you really can't beat yourself up over these things. Well, the Prince one I kind of can, but the others, you can't, because literally every band, big or small, comes to Washington, D.C. There are multiple shows every night of the week.
That's right.
So, you know, yes, there are many shows I kind of wish I had gone to, but you can't, you got to pick and choose, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's it's like the Mark Knopfler show, which I started with this. I mean, if I had never seen him, I would have been really bitter that I hadn't seen him because he's so close to my
house.
Well,
that's a great point,
too. But I'd seen him several times, and so it wasn't the end of the world, but it kind of set the seed in my head about, man, what about this and what about that? But yeah, you could go crazy going to shows here, and I'd be divorced, and I wouldn't have this house, you know. But I'd be seeing all these shows. I'd be living on the street outside the 9:30 Club, or something.
All three of us would be living in a cardboard box under an overpass. Yeah.
Well, it's been a fun discussion.
This is great.
Oh man, really, really good.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to hear other people's folks. I'm sure you guys might do a call to action on that. So. Yeah.
I am going to guarantee that the listeners have stories.
Oh my
this
gosh.
One.
This is going to be a huge topic.
Tell us about the concert that got away, the one that you could have gone to and decided not to, and now you regret it. So the way you can do that, first of all, on this one, we would love to hear your voice. We'd love to hear the stories.
I think that's important.
So if you can, call the Suburban Party Line and leave a message, and we'll put your voice on the show. It's
612-440-1984.
There you go. Call that number. If you'd rather write an email, you could do that too. It's rock@suburbspod.com is the email address, so you can send that there. Or you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you can message us that way or leave comments. Those are all at suburbspod.
Yep.
All right?
Absolutely. I'd love to hear Joe Fleischer when he went to a concert and was faced with false metal. for example. There you go.
All right. This has been great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mike,
for this topic. It's a great idea.
Oh, it's been fun. It's been topic. Very cathartic.
Yeah.
If anyone else
would... I feel better. I actually do. I feel a lot better.
Well, it's good to know that everybody has those shows that got away, right?
That's right.
If anyone else would like to support the show and pick the topic of shows, we can
do that.
Set you up with that. You go to patreon.com/suburbspod and you'll see all the information there on how to become a Suburbs Pod patron, right?
That's right. You just have to click the box that says I will not band together with other patrons to overtake our show.
That's right. It's in the small print. All right. Any last thoughts?
I got to see Prince twice.
Oh, man.
How was it?
Dude, it was incredible. One I saw in Minneapolis and got to go to his studio afterwards.
What?
I got that assignment. I did get that assignment for the Love Sexy tour. And then he was at George Mason.
I remember.
He played at George Mason? When was that?
He did.
The album was, I can't remember. It was the one they put the album on your seat. You know,
I'll
have to do my homework on that.
Huh.
Yeah.
I'll get back to you on that.
Yeah.
But that was my last.
That's really cool.
I remember that show, and I can't remember the album, but yeah. Patriot Center.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like a small arena.
Yeah. It's pretty small. It's probably only about 12,000.
Yeah, something like that.
I've seen Tom Petty there, too.
Yep.
I've only seen basketball games.
And Oasis. And Travis.
Really? All these at the Patriot Center?
And actually, Van Morrison. The only time I ever saw Van Morrison was
played at the Patriot Center.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
Do they even have shows there anymore? I never hear about it.
It's been a while. I've seen a bunch of shows there, too.
I'm sure the Anthem has cut into that. Yep. I'm sure the other people don't care about this. But George Mason has had some really good shows. Mm-hmm.
I saw Beck there. Yep.
Hmm. Sweet.
Huh. Okay. I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's get out of here.
Another rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Thanks again, Mike. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
I'm Mike Snyder.
And we'll talk to you guys later.
Stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.